Moses sent spies into the promised land. The job was to come back and tell Moses that tell the nation what they saw over there. So when they came back, they were to bring fruit and a report because they knew there was some good stuff over there. So, I mean, they come back with some grapes like you've never seen. I mean, taking two guys to carry it on. You know, I mean, it's big. It's a lot of fruit. And they say, this place is, I mean, it's milk and honey. This is a great, it rains over there. This is a great place. And so they're showing the fruit. But then they also came back with a report. Giants. And so the two reports, they provoked tension in the hearts of the people. There's tension there. The two reports did that. Fruit versus report. Fruit versus report. What will you believe? Now here's the thing. Just like Moses, you can receive a report and fruit at the same time. Yeah, you can. A report. For example, people come up in the healing line. One person gets a miracle and the other one doesn't. What you gonna do? You're gonna look at the fruit. And you're gonna believe God that the person who just has the report, that they're gonna end up with fruit. You're not gonna, well, they didn't get it, so I don't know if they have more faith than I do. You don't know that. Well, why did they get, well, that God loves them more. No, that is not the case. Amen. No, it's not the report. Well, I don't know how in the world we could actually do that. I don't have another hour in my day. That hit home. Where's Margaret? Must not be here. It's quiet in here today. No, it's not the report. Well, I got a bad report at the doctor. You don't go by that. So thank you very much, doctor. I know you're doing the best you can, but Jesus is the healer. And I'll get his advice, and I'll follow what your plan if God tells me to. If God tells me to. I hope you do that. You follow a doctor's advice if God tells you to. You may need a second opinion, or you may have someone you totally trust. You'll know, but you need to know and hear from the great physician. Amen. Well, we're not going to make it. We don't have enough money. Well, how are we going to get the new building? How are we going to get the new land? How are we going to do that? We don't even have a... Look at the dream. Focus on the dream. Yeah. Focus on the fruit. The paid for one.
Yeah.
We took down the lion. We took down the bear. We're going to take down the Goliath.
Yeah.
Look at the report. Look at the bad report. Look at the fruit. Sorry about that. Erase that. Look at the fruit. Here's the fruit. A debt-free $1 million building.
Oh, yeah.
Debt-free.
Yeah.
Look at the fruit. So, you mean this small group? It only took 12 to turn the world upside down.
Yeah.
Do not despise small beginnings. We're making more progress than you think we are. We're affecting more lives than you think we are. Fruit report. How do we steward the breakthrough? Well, you can't, once again, you can't look at the factual report of the strength of a sickness that's trying to grab somebody. Well, they said stage 4. Well, they said they don't see how. Did you go to the prayer meeting yesterday? Pastor Doug is healed in Jesus' name. He's healed. I know you're all praying for him. What a good man.
Oh, yeah.
What a great man. He's, Deb and I've been around him and Danny and Deb even more. He's just a great guy. He's healed in Jesus' name.
Yes, he is.
And we're not gonna look what shingles does to everybody. We're gonna look at fruit. The word of God that produces the fruit. Amen. You receive that today?
Yes.
We're looking at what we have, not what we don't have. If we did this and then God calls us to the next thing, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That may be how you, this is coming up in the Holy Ghost, how you get your healing. Believe God for the first level, then believe God for the next level of it, and believe God until you're running. If you hadn't been on the treadmill in 10 years, don't get on there and try to run 10 miles in 20 minutes. You will not produce good fruit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In relationships, we use the same tactics, basically. We use them in the healing. We use them in the prosperity, and we use them in relationships. Faith, grace, and love. All three in all of these. Forgiveness is in all three. Can you see it? All three. You keep it flowing. Good relationships require each person to be willing in grace to do some self-examination, we would say. I think a better way that we'll say this is that be open to correction from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Some people are too hard on themselves. The Bible says, though, that if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. It's 1 Corinthians 11:31, if you need to write it down. So I just want to mention here, as we come down the home trail here, I want to talk about just a few things that we deal with in relationships. What you shouldn't do and what you shouldn't put up with. Number one, manipulation. I got one amen.
Amen.
Manipulation is when one party states how they feel to get the other party to respond. It is to get them to do what they want them to do. It's a strategy. Mm-hmm. It maneuvers people into doing what one person wants. Listen to me, church. I got to tell you something. There's a lie that's gone around this world a million times. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. You better get that out of your mouth. Because it's a lie. If mama ain't happy, she better get happy.
Preach it, Pastor. It's good.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know that's true. So we all love the mamas. We love mama and we want mama to be happy. But that's a manipulation. That if we're all going to have to do what mother does, she's the matriarch, we need to do what she does. Because if she starts crying, you know, if mama, you know, well, mama birthed us all. You know, you may do it out of guilt. You may do it out of whatever. But you're going to give in, peace at any price, because mama needs to be happy. No, God needs to be happy with you. It's really not funny, but we all have said it. But that's not really, that is actually a lie. It's a form of manipulation. It maneuvers people into doing what mama wants. And then there's people who manipulate with money. Come on. Yeah, they do. And there are bosses who manipulate. Well, you know, you work for me, so you owe me an allegiance. So I really feel like, you know, I need you to do this over here. Yeah, it's quiet in the church. It's the truth, though.
Yeah.
Bosses will manipulate you, especially if they're the kind that have that power of words over people. Do you know there are people that use their words to overpower you, and they're going to throw words out at you until they try to weaken you? It's psychotic. Mm-hmm. It's devil, because that's what devil does. I'm going to hit you with this until you feel guilty enough to do what I want you to do. I'm going to hit you with this because I could fire you. That's not too good. We certainly honor our bosses, and we certainly follow what they want to do. But manipulation is a different thing. It's a totally different thing. There are people who play peace at any price. Well, if I say anything, she'll just get stirred up. I think I'll just watch the game and be quiet. Well, if I say I want to go have coffee with the girls, he'll get mad. And then I'll have to pay for it. I'd really like to go to that church over there, but he won't go because he doesn't like speaking in tongues. So I don't think I'll go. Well, our teenager, they want to go to this group, so we're going to go to church over there. Am I hitting any place with anybody?
Yeah.
The kids don't rule.
Right.
You, God told you where to take your kids.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's only two people in the youth group, which is not true here. But there was at one time, I think Jennifer and Trey and Irene and Jay, yeah, we had about five. Praise the Lord. I know y'all get quiet at this, but don't receive people manipulating you.
Yeah.
And if you feel you have a tendency to it, by grace, through faith, stop it. Just say, you know what, I think I'm manipulating. You may not even realize it. Well, you know, we need for Dad to be happy. If, you know, Dad needs his way because he works hard. I grew up around people who had military people in their family and they went to war. And one of the sayings was, well, you know, he went to war. So we just kind of build our lives around him because he went to war. I thank God for his service. But he shouldn't control the whole family with what he wants to get to do because he's the father. Mm-hmm. Marriage is 100%, 100%, and the kids listen to the parents, and the parents always side up together.
Right.
And when spiritual decisions need to be made, if the husband is walking in the spirit, then he's the head of the household, and he can make the final decision. And if the wife doesn't like it, she can say yes and pray about it. That's what my understanding of the scripture is. Because two heads make a monster. You need someone who can make a final decision. That's why we have a pastor and not a elder board church. Because
yeah.
We don't need a steering committee. We need the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And we need, and we're covered and accountable.
Right.
Amen. I know it took a little while on that, but we need to think about it. Well, and listen, you don't have to get in someone's face and say, you know, you're manipulating me. Maybe you can, depending on what the relationship's like.
Yeah.
You know what? You're manipulating me right there. But you can pray about it. And you can say, no sir. No, I'm still not going. I need to do this. Amen. People have tried to manipulate people to leave this church. And some of them said, no, this is where we're rooted. We're not leaving. Yeah, but the anointing's not there anymore because I'm leaving. Bye-bye. That ought to tell you something right there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pride. Pride keeps you from dealing with the truth. It distorts your vision. Pride hardens your heart and it dims your eyes. It dims your understanding. And then pride will also cause you to view yourself as a victim or almighty me. See, church, people that have inferior complexes when they're inferior, they will work hard all their life to do things to try to make them look good, to convince other people, but mostly themselves, that they're okay. Let's just cut to the chase. You're okay. God loves you. You're okay. Yeah, but, you know, something happened to me in my past. Join the club. Everybody's suffered rejection. Everybody's been accused. Everybody's been persecuted. Everybody's been through hard times. You're accepted in the beloved. Yeah, but what if I get close to y'all and then y'all find out something about me that you don't like? Once again, join the club. You're going to see someone's humanity sooner or later. You can walk in with a big white family Bible if you want to. But sooner or later, you're going to show something. I know I have this tilted halo up here glowing. But the staff knows my humanity. And they understand. And they still honor the position. And I'll go in there and say, y'all need to pray for me right now. Or they'd be quiet when they know that it's my flesh. And we'll deal with it and they'll pray, whatever it is. You know, whatever it is, you're okay. Start getting comfortable in your own skin. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I fit with y'all. Y'all are boots and blue jeans. Well, we'll like you anyway. It's all right. This is our culture. This is who we are. Amen. Well, y'all aren't serious enough for me. Well, maybe you need to get unserious a little bit. Have a little fun in your life. Back to pride. Pride comes before the fall. Arrogance comes before the fall. But listen, pride is two things. Pride is when you think you're self-almighty and you got it going on and I don't need anybody's help and I've got this and I'm doing it right and I'm better at this than any of y'all are and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know why I'm not chosen because I'm the best at this. It's all those kind of things, but it's also this, the victim. Why don't y'all? How come you haven't? Why this? How come I'm so defeated? What's wrong? It's all that too. It's victim mentality. That's pride. That's what we call entitlement. I'm entitled. People get on their soapboxes about different groups and everything, and before they know it, they're spewing out entitlement stuff. Better think about that. Better think about that. Well, this group, we need to... I think that has cost us.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. No, I have two more. Trash dumping. This is one of my favorites. Trash dump. That's what I call it. I'll find a better word for it in the future. Well, I'm going to call it trash dumping today. That's when you show up and you start complaining and whining and dumping all your negative exasperations, irritations, and annoyances on another person. Hey, hon, how was your day? Did you know what the boss said to me today? Blah, 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 blah. Or... there's a moose outside. How about this? Can you pray for me? This and this and this and this and this and this and this. Yeah? Uh-huh. Okay, let's just do the elephant in the room. Those Democrats! Blah, 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 blah. Those Republicans! Blah, 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 blah. It's all still dumping. Yeah, it is. Don't send me a dumping message, okay? When you, Lord, wherever they're going and whatever they're doing, thank you for your protection, healing, and safety for the firemen and all the people in Jesus' name. EMS, in Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be right here. We always get to pray. When someone dumps on you, you're loaded down with trash. You got to walk away and deal with it. Now, just before I step away from this, and we're almost done here. We still got plenty of time on the clock, but this is something that you guys, if you learn this now, you're going to have great relationships. Great, great things. If you'll go ahead and learn this and not try to manipulate, not get your pride in the way. I'm right. No, you know, that kind of stuff. If you move on past these things, if you move on past, you don't love me like I want you to. I don't get this. I don't get the love I need. When you start moving past these things and get, yeah, your life's going to get better and you're a contributor to the relationship. So when the dumping stuff starts, if you do get dumped on, go dump it off. And not back on them. Yeah. I've done that. Someone will come in madder than a wet hen and dump on me, and I'm going to start, used to, I haven't done it in a long time. But I'll just start firing back at them. You know, you get enraged like they do. It's like the fire started, and then it gets everybody in the room on fire. Amen. Doesn't work. Grief will do that. You get sorrowful and grieving, spirit of grief will come in, you better go get rid of it.
Right.
Now, well, let me say one more thing about this. In relationships, hopefully you will get close enough to your spouse, your best friend, someone who you are able to make them understand that you are not trying to manipulate them. You are not dumping on them, but you need an ear. And this is not going to be 15 people in the church or the prayer group. This is more likely one person in your life, more usually, maybe two, that you could go in and say, can I just tell you I'm dealing with some feelings? Not because I'm trying to get you to do it, you to fix it. But I'm dealing with this. I call it dialoguing. And then that person has to have the understanding that you're not saying this in any way to get them to respond. You just need an ear and then you need a prayer. Okay? But you better find that person and set up an agreement with them. Look, I'm not telling you this because I need you to respond. And don't try to do the manipulative thing. You know, I'm not telling you this because I need you to respond, but I really need, no, that's still the manipulation, where it's really a true relationship, where they really go, okay, I'm listening, and I'm not listening with the attitude that I need to do something about it. You got it? So if you can come into agreement with your spouse about that, you're going to win. You're going to win a lot. But train up in this. Get that fixed so that it's not a, you have to get this going in the right way. And make sure you understand, because if you love someone, you're immediately going to want to try to fix it when you're the one that's hearing it. But you have to say, uh-uh. That's not what they're doing here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, David did that with God. David told how he felt, but then he ended with the up stuff.
Yeah.
You can do that. Uh-huh. Just don't stay in it and start making a bunch of confessions and going around doing it to 35 people or all day long, or make it a part of your life or whatever. Get a positive confession on that. Last thing, offense. An offended Christian is the one who takes in life, but because of fear, cannot release it. As a result, even the life that does come in, it becomes stagnant within the wall of their prison of offense. It's like the Dead Sea. The New Testament calls it strongholds. You get a stronghold built, you live an offended life. Everything that comes in is filtered through your past hurts, rejections, experiences. And then what happens? Listen, church, when you're offended like that and everything comes in the wrong filter, it makes it impossible for you to believe God. You're just not going to believe God. You're just not going to believe that something can happen, because you just don't believe anything, because, you know, everything that comes into you is just taken through the wrong filter. It's just everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. They're wrong. That wrong. That made me mad. Nobody can make you mad. That's coming from you. That's an emotion coming from you. They can stimulate that, but you were already angry about something in your life. Emotions should be used as teachers and a way to relate to God and other relationships, in love, in joy, in rejoicing, in things like that. And they have a little bit of piece of your decision making, but they shouldn't be the main decision making. Well, I don't like this deal. I'm going to pull out right now. Well, just wait a minute. You just got mad about something, but can you come back into the conversation? All right. Y'all still love me?
Yes.
They start doubting God's goodness and his faithfulness because they judge him by the standard of other men in their lives. When you meet someone new, let's not judge them by what you had in the past. I don't know if I'll ever trust another pastor. Man, how many times have I heard that? I don't know if I could trust another pastor because the last one, and then the one before that, and then the one before that, and then the one before that. Hey, newsflash, trust God. So if we're going to be void of offense, this is what we need to do. We needed to be rooted in the revelation, particularly of love. The revelation of love. Now the religious church sees it like this. You better love. You better get your love walk right. You better love. You better love. God be mad. God are going to be mad. You better love. It's you. It's you. Church, you're never going to love if you don't receive love himself. And you don't get to know this God that loves you so much that he has this loving, tender mercy, hesed for you every day of your life. A father who gives only good gifts, who will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will be there for you. He's there all the time. He has compassion for you. He has mercy for you. He'll swing you around. He'll hug you. He'll tell you a bedtime story. He's always there. He's not a judge that's tearing you up. You're the king's kid. He loves you. Love loves you. And you have to get a revelation of that. And when you get a revelation of that, so says the book of John, 1 John, it says that when you get a revelation of God's love, it's going to cast out fear. It's going to cast out fear because you'll find out that God loves you so much that you're not going to be all picky about who doesn't love you perfectly, because it'll be all about you loving them. Because this God so loved the world. He gave his son for you. That's pretty deep love. I don't know anyone who wants to do that. Abraham made it. Thank God for Jehovah Jireh. He provided. This God wants to do all these things for us. Let's stop fighting on the other side. If I can only get to God. If I can only do this. If I can only do that. Just surrender to a Father who loves you, who wants to pick you up, hug you, hold you, love you, provide for you, show you favor, show you acceptance, show you protection. He wants all of this for you. I'm preaching really good right now. I don't know why you're so quiet. Because the truth is the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And you, when you realize how much God loves you, you're able to love people.
Yeah.
The rest is just the enemy. Sometimes people smart off to you. It's just a touch foul. They don't mean it all the time. I told Danny I'm working on a sermon about basketball. Marriage is a contact sport. And you know, y'all know, y'all are big basketball fans, and so there's a charge and a, what are some of the fouls? There's a charge and a, There's a whole bunch of them. But, you know, but sometimes, what?
Reaching
over the back. That's one. So I actually went and looked at all of them. Traveling. So there's all these things, but usually if a person just accidentally breezes by, they're not going to call it, right? I mean, if you go grab their head and some, I don't know, in some of y'all's games, they don't even call that, but they should. Kids out there can get rough. But in a marriage, there's touch fouls. And you just need to blow it off. You don't need to blow the whistle. They didn't necessarily, it's not deep enough to cut you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
All right, now, come on, you know. Am I right?
Yeah.
All of the married people are grinning real big, looking straight ahead. That's funny. But what happens is when something deeper does happen, it affects those places. And so every little foul gets bigger and more sore than it should. It is the truth. You start getting angry. And then you have this low-lying thing of, they never loved me. They just care about themselves. And then the devil will help you with that. And then if you're the peace of, at any price person, you ain't going to say nothing. You know, back to mama always needing to be happy. You're just going to stuff it. That's called repression. And one day, the kettle will blow. And that's when the quiet person, who didn't ever say anything, will one day be at the door with bags packed. And that's what we're not going to have happen here. Mm-mm. We're not. I'm prophesying. It ain't happening. We're gonna get, now there are reasons why people have to separate. Abuse, things like that. There are reasons why that does have to happen. And I believe Jesus is okay with that. But just to boil over for 30 years and then decide, you know, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna find a way to communicate. Friends, married people, pastor to sheep, we're gonna find a way to staff, we're going to find a way to communicate well enough so that we all have what we need. And you, maybe you're here today and you don't have, the other person doesn't come with you. I've got news to you. Just sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit and let God take care of that. Just sow to the Spirit. See, no longer do we have to see love unreturned as failure. It's not failure. If you're sowing seed, you're sowing to the Spirit. Those relatives that won't do it, those husband or the wife or whoever that won't do it, the people that are not responding, you sow to the Spirit. The Bible says over in Galatians 6 that when you sow, you should sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Because if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap flesh. I just got that, Lord. I've got it right here. He just said something to me. Well, what we have to do here is we have to love with the love of God, knowing how much He loves us and knowing that we don't require that person's love back to be a success. Got it? I'm going to say something important to you because Holy Spirit just said this to me. And this is the last thing I'm going to say to you, and I pray you'll get this. You can go to counseling. You can take classes. You can get a set of practices in your relationships, and they can do something, and they can be well and good. You know, if I just learn their love language, if I just do this, if we just, you know, if we have this going, we're going to go to this class and we'll go over here to this professional counselor. He's not a believer, but we'll go or we'll go to do this, or we're setting ourselves up for this. But I'm going to tell you something right now, and I pray that every one of you will believe me because I'm telling you the absolute truth. And it is this. If you don't get down to the root, you will be in performance mode. And I refuse to teach you performance mode. There's all sorts of wonderful things we can do as we lay on top. But if you don't get down to the root of love, if you don't get down to the root of self, somewhere you're going to end up failing. It's quiet in the house. But I'm telling you the truth. Get to the root. Hear what's happening in this house this year. And listen, you do all of it by grace, through faith. No navel gazing. No, I'm really bad. I'm bad. And the devil's really helping me. No, I'm bad. And I don't do it right. And you're telling me I'm going to have to stay in something that's hard. I didn't say that. I said, just do your part with God. Do your part with Holy Spirit. Do your part. And then your husband, your wife, your children, your pastor, your boss, your clients, your acquaintances, your family, everything will begin to flow. Danny gave me a bracelet. I wear it all the time. It's the Hebrew word shalom. And remember, we found out that every letter means something important. And then Susanna gave me a plaque with the meaning on it. It's just beautiful. And I think it's so I've got triple. I learned it. I got a bracelet and I got a picture. Triple, right? That has changed my life. Because I'm going to be at peace no matter what you do. I will love you. I will help you. I will cry with you. I will help you do what you need to do. But I'm not going to get off because of you. And you shouldn't get off because of me. Amen? Amen. So we won't say a pastor ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, because that's a lie of the devil. We won't say if daddy or mama are the youngest child in the house, doesn't rule. We just have to get ourselves out of the center every day. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, good. But it's still the truth. It is the truth. You will have to say, you know what? I don't have to be in the middle. I don't have to be invited to everything. I don't have to have this. I don't need that. I just need to know that God loves me and that I have the favor of God on my life and doors will open. Let's stand up. This is where Pastor Robert Morris would say, so check yourself out. Take a minute to reflect. Okay, am I doing it? Am I living it? When I'm confronted with something, what do I say? What do I do? Well, Pastor, you don't understand because I'm doing it by myself because the other person doesn't want to do it. No, you're not doing it by yourself. God is in the middle of it. And he will bring people around or he'll do whatever needs to be done. And those old ugly spirits that try to affect your life and that sometimes speak to the people who you love the most, they will be defeated. They will be defeated. You know, you want to know why? Because they are defeated. They're just lies. And they're going to quit bothering you.
That's right.
They're going to quit. Because you're putting them in their place. Do you receive this today?
Yes.
I am so blessed by our family. Because when I teach stuff like this, a number of people will come up to me and say, I love this stuff. And they're bouncing around like, this is really good for us. You want to know. And there's probably a few people, I wouldn't know who they are, and you probably wouldn't tell me. Smart. No. You'd probably say, I don't want to hear all this stuff. Y'all call me whenever they're done with that. You know. But if you want success, this is the bottom line. You got into rejection, you're going to have to get out of rejection. You have to break the syndrome. And if you'll break it early now, okay, yeah. That was just a touch foul. I'm all right. Amen. Y'all think I should do a sermon on basketball? It'd be cool, wouldn't it? You could wear your uniform and get a basketball, and behind me you could be jumping around and making hoops. Wouldn't that be cool? And we could get some of the other kids to jump up, and they could be in stuff. Yeah. I have a strange imagination, but praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we pray for the internet audience today. Father, we thank you for every one of them that tune in. We love them. We bless you. We love you. God loves you. Get rooted and grounded in the love of God. Get rooted and grounded in grace. You are all right. There's nothing between you and the Father. He finds no fault in you. Get rid of the false guilt. And get rid of any judgmental attitude you might have against someone else. Amen. You can do it. It's as easy as the Bible says that God has cast our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. You can't ever touch them again. So we can do that as well. Amen. Thank you for it.